Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People go.
People
go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's gotta get
better. It will get better.
It's gonna be
better. It will get better.
Cause
God is in control,
y'all. Hey. Thank you, Lord. Hey.
Find the praise
within your heart.
If it's Friday afternoon, you know you're listening to The Power and the Word with your host, the Reverend Ellen Jacobs. Let's give her a hand as she come to the mic at this time.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
thank you. It's beautiful to be with you and to be here this afternoon, beautiful afternoon, fall but beautiful, and the first week of Advent. And so we're going to be discussing Advent and the messages especially that come from the Unity Advent booklet called The Sweetest Christmas, Advent 2023. And so without further ado, I want to begin with a reading of the prophecy of Isaiah, coming from Isaiah 9, verses 2, and then from verses 6 through 6 and 7. Okay, Isaiah writes in chapter 9, verse 2, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has a light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward and even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And that is our reading when we know that this child that is born, the son given, is Jesus the Christ, and we are certainly await, and during this time, this Advent season, we await the birth of Jesus the Christ, and we call the season of anticipation and waiting Advent. And so I want to start with just a few of the facts about the season of Advent. Advent is a season of the Christmas calendar that begins the Sunday closest to November 30th and ends on December 24th, Christmas Eve. Now, I know that there's some people, we may have a discussion about whether this is the legitimate Christmas and all of that, but that's for another time. We're going to just take the ordinary pedestrian ideas and work with them. Anyway, as far as the history is concerned, we will go into something else later in the program. But it is a time of anticipation and preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. The season lasts for 4 weeks, and each week focuses on a different theme. And the themes are hope, peace, joy, and love. Advent is a time for reflection and preparation for the coming of Christ, both in his birth and his expected return in the second coming. During this season, Christians engage in various traditions, such as lighting candles or hanging the Advent wreath, reading the Bible verses, and praying. And, of course, we can include the caroling and the present buying and all of those other things that prepare us for Christmas. Advent was developed as a season of the Christian calendar in the late 4th century. It was widely practiced across Christian churches worldwide by the 6th century. The church developed Advent primarily to provide an alternative time for the final preparation of candidates for baptism, because baptism was performed, obviously, at this time. Originally, Advent lasted from November 11th, the Feast of St. Martin, until Christmas Day. During the Middle Ages, Advent became associated with preparation for the Second Coming. So Advent had a double focus. The Latin word Adventus was the translation of the Greek parousia, P-A-R-O-U-S-I-A, a word for both the coming of Christ in human flesh and his second coming. Advent, then, always intended to focus on both. Now, for the last, for today, I seldom, this is, by the way, this is the first time that I read anything about the second coming attached to Advent, because I have always thought of it as a season in anticipation of the birth, the flesh birth of Jesus the Christ. And this sent me off into a direction that I had not decided to go to. I had not planned to go to, but because I am a New Thought Christian, this second coming of Christ is very critical to us and our understanding. So I just want to, you know, make a brief digression into what we call the second, what is called the second coming of Christ. It came up, it's kind of I guess it's sort of a digression, but I think it's an important digression for us. Anyway, for the first 2 weeks of Advent, the early church would reflect on the second coming. Disciples would chasten their hearts, confess sins, and spend time hoping for the quick coming of the Lord, because most people, when they talk about second coming, are expecting the second coming to be of Jesus the Christ in the sky with everybody seeing him, etc. And so so I just want to go off on that for a second, because I think it's a very important piece, especially for us New Thought Christians. Okay, just let me read to you what I had down here. I looked at the mystical teaching of Christianity from the Truth Unity website, and I did get two very interesting articles that I wanted to share a part of one with you, and recommend that you look at the second one. But the first one is From the Mystical Teachings of Christianity by Jim Lewis. It was written in 1981. The second coming does not refer to the literal return of Jesus, but to the coming revelation of the Christ consciousness of each individual. It is something that happens to us on an individual basis, and not something historical or an outer event. Of course, this will have an influence on outer events, for as it changes individuals, the outer events have to change, since individuals are the causes of outer events. The second coming refers to the time when it dawns on us that we, in our spiritual essence, are sons of God, as Jesus was the Son of God. In human thought, we are only aware of ourselves as human beings with very limited human potential. In the second coming, we will realize more of our spiritual potential, and with it the unlimited capacity for good that is within us and within everyone, for we will also realize that all are equal in this internal potential. Now, Jesus talked about the experience of the second coming, often in Mark 13, Matthew 20, 25, in Luke, etc. Jesus gave descriptions of what his second coming would be like, wars, earthquakes, and other disasters. And these descriptions have been taken quite literally. But as New Thought Christians, we see them quite differently. As I said a minute ago, that the second coming is the revelation of the Christ consciousness within us. And everyone that is on this broadcast, we realize that we are operating from second coming of Jesus the Christ. Now, we're going to look at the flesh birth of Jesus the Christ also. But I think that we understand that Advent is, as early church people did, Advent is a recognition of the Christ consciousness within each one of us. I think that puts a different spin on how we view the flesh birth of Jesus the Christ, for lack of a better term, that we call the Christmas season and the Advent season. I thought this was very important because as I read further, and I did not really read carefully and digest Fillmore's articles on the Second Coming, I thought that it was just so fascinating that Fillmore's work contains so many affirmations and actually the format of meditation and affirmative prayer and affirmations that would be a guide for each one of us to use during the time of Advent. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I did read was that in this particular sermon, he was encouraging the congregation to literally decide on something that they wanted, something that they needed in their lives. And I don't know what the time frame was, but as he gave the words and the kind of a formula to follow, he said that at some time we would come back together and talk about what we asked for at this meeting or what we wanted at this meeting, and we would come back and after we had done our prayer and our meditation and our affirmation and our treatments, etc., we could come back in 2 or 3 weeks and say what had transpired. And so when I read that, then I got all excited because one of the things that we were going to talk about today, and we will, for Monday, December the 4th, in the booklet, The Sweetest Christmas, Advent 2023, Unity Booklet, it says December 4th, start now. Declare that this is the day to design the peace and harmony you desire for the coming holidays with the full assurance that it is already done. And so I thought about this in relation to Fillmore. And so this is kind of, I guess, a direction from Fillmore in 1921 or something like that. And so Unity is still following it. But one of the things that I did want to talk about, and I will in just a second, was this idea of our designing peace and harmony that we want. By designing it, we are making a plan to accomplish. We set a goal. We have something in mind to accomplish, to manifest in our lives. And it has to do with our peace and our harmony. It doesn't necessarily have to do with the holidays. However, it can if you wish it to do that. But anyway, I just wanted to say that we are speaking about this from a Christ consciousness point of view, knowing that the Christ within us, that part of us that we have accepted, that we call our Christ consciousness, is very, 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 very important. And I just wanted to read something from the Fillmore Dictionary on the Christ consciousness. I wanted to say that, the birth of Christ in man is the bringing to consciousness of the spiritual idea of man, the Christ of God, through the quickening power of the word of truth. It is the beginning in the inner realm of consciousness of a higher set of faculties that, when grown to full stature, save the whole man from ignorance and sin. I think we are all about that goal in our Christ consciousness. It is a growth in man as tangible to those who reach certain stages as is that of the child to the mother. And so we are looking for or working with this Christ consciousness within us. And so as the early church worked with that Christ consciousness within each man, that which will save us from sin and ignorance, and the second 2 weeks was on the actual flesh birth of Jesus the Christ, we can work with that. We're going to work with that Christ consciousness and talk about that in particular. So that's the facet that we are going to be dealing with. In the booklet, The Sweetest Christmas, it begins on, of course, it began December 3rd. That was the closest Sunday to the 30th of November. And it's about hope and faith. One of the things that I thought might be of value to us is to just have a little definition of hope and faith so that we are on the same page with it. These ideas tend to be very watery and tend to mean a lot of things. And so I just wanted to use some of the two daily word entries, one from November 12th on faith, and just a few brief definitions or ideas about faith. Faith, and this came from November 12th, 2023, Daily Word. Faith heals, prospers, blesses, and sustains me in my present and my future. Having faith means I have unswerving fidelity to spiritual truth. My faith is an anchor, keeping me steady during shifting worldly circumstances and focused not on the things of the world, but on the power of spirit. It keeps me steadfast in the midst of uncertainty. It is inventive when I meet with stagnation. It is adaptable when faced with changing circumstances. I turn my attention to God and feel my soul illumined by my belief. Everything is working for good. Everything is working for good. I align with this truth and go forth blessed by my faith. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." And so I just want to be sure that we, when we talk about the faith, we do see that it heals, prospers, blesses, and sustains me in the present and in the future. And it's unswerving fidelity to spiritual truth. On the 3rd of December, there was an entry in the Daily Word on hope and faith. And so I just wanted to just briefly say, my hope leads me to deepen in faith. I may have hoped for lasting peace, greater love, or abiding joy, but as I have grown spiritually, I have learned to look for these things within, to claim them as aspects of my divine identity. Once I do that, I will begin to see them manifest in my life. Faith is how I begin to bring my hopes to life. Like my other divine gifts, I always have faith. It is up to me to decide how to use it. And so, therefore, faith is there, and it is always up to you. So you have to make some decision. When I choose to believe that, peace will blanket the earth, love will heal our hearts, joy will bring harmony to the world's peoples, I am using my power of faith to bring those visions to vivid life. John 1, verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So these ideas of hope and faith are very much ingrained in us. Through our Christ consciousness, they are always active. And so at this time, Advent time, we are encouraged to visit our hope and our faith and to actually grow our hope and our faith. These are divine gifts, and we all have them, especially those who are very, very involved in growing and using our Christ consciousness. And so on December 3rd, the Hope and Faith essay by Reverend Teresa Burton tells us that we discover the deeper meanings of Christmas when we fully realize we are the goodness and grace of God in expression. When I read that the first time, I wasn't really convinced, and I read the article, and unfortunately, it's not until we get down to the end where it says, as we evolve spiritually, we understand that the promise of Christmas doesn't merely involve being good or doing good. We discover the deeper meaning of Christmas when we fully realize we are the goodness and the grace of God in expression. This Christmas, let's rediscover the hope of believing in the power of being good and carry it into the new year. As we believe, we'll lean into the power of our faith, finally understanding that good isn't just what we do. Goodness is what we are. And I underlined that. And I think that one of the things about when we are fully conscious of our Christ consciousness, we can say that goodness is what we are. We can take it a step further and see it another way. We can look past our differences, all that divides us, and find the children we once were. We can have faith in our common origin, our original blessing as divine beings, our oneness with God. And that oneness with God expressed within us as our Christ expressing within us, as our Christ consciousness is so very, 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 very beautiful. Then we receive a precious gift. We remember when we were once so hopeful and wide-eyed children perched on Santa's lap. I have a problem with the whole Santa thing because I never believed in Santa Claus. I never visited Santa Claus. I never sat on Santa Claus's lap. And so I missed this. And when I had my children, I didn't allow them to do that either. So Santa Claus is not one of my personal memories. For those for whom it is a personal memory, that's fine. But it's personal, and it goes over my head. I'm not in it, and the hope in my heart was not about arranging cookies on a platter, or waiting for the reindeer to come on the roof, etc. But in any case, I was a child, and I did have hopes. And I did have aspirations, et cetera. So I just take Romans 15:13 seriously. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I do believe, most certainly. And I love the affirmation. I have faith. I am God's goodness in expression. And I can say that I am God's goodness in expression, especially when I am coming from the place of the Christ consciousness. Monday, December 4th is a very important day because I saw this part, and I love this. I'm looking at the third paragraph. Start now. Declare that this is the day to design the peace and harmony you desire for the coming holidays with the full assurance that it is already done, for nothing is impossible with God. Luke 1:37. And so Reverend Mary Lou and I, as we read this, we decided that we would be talking about personally designing something, designing a goal, having a goal in mind for Advent. What is it that you want? What will bring more peace and harmony in your life, either during the Christmas time or outside of Christmas? And so when we design something, we make a plan. And some of the ways of making plans, we've had these things come to us in our classes and our readings and so forth, is to do a treasure map, do a journal entry, visualize it, draw it, write a dialogue. Nothing is impossible with God. And so this goal that we have, if we design it, if we see it, if we love it, and if we are it, then it will most certainly come to fruition. And faith and hope will make your design manifest in the world. And I love the affirmation, my hope is anchored in my faith in God, most certainly. And it is written that whatsoever you ask of me, believing that you have it, you will get it. And so I think that today would be a good day. Anyway, Monday the 4th was the day that it was suggested that you actually put your faith into operation for something that you want, something that will bring you peace and harmony. So design it. I love this because it has a design that's conscious. It's not unconscious, so we don't just roll into it, you know, or it just happens. We have to actually plan it and leave it. We don't have to find out how it's going to come into fruition. We open ourselves to Spirit, and we do what we are told to do by Spirit, and it will come. So let's see, today is December, 6th or something like that. I don't even know what day it is. December 8th. And so if we plan it today, December 8th, it should be by December 24th, or the last Friday in the month, we should have that. And let's see what happens. When's the last time you really did this? I remember doing it when I first came into Unity. And everything always worked. I haven't done it in a long time. And so I don't know how other people feel about that, but I know that I haven't done it in a long time. And so I'm anxious to do this and see how it works out. And I just want to make just a remark about Tuesday, December 5th. Very often, as we set our goals in life, we are the things that we really want. The reason that it's that particular, this goal is not evident in our life already, the reason we have to make it a goal for the future, even if it's the near future, is because we have fears around this particular thing. If prosperity, more prosperity, is a goal of ours for, let's say, for Lent, the reason that we don't have the prosperity that we want may be because we have certain fears around that goal. And so now is a very good time, then, to look at your fears, even list your fears, especially around whatever goal it is that you want to accomplish. And note that the affirmation for Tuesday, December 5th, my faith is greater than my fear. So if you have fears around this particular goal that you want, you have to look at those fears, list them, enumerate them, and deny them. My faith is greater than my fear. Your faith has to become greater than your fear. So when you release those fears, you open the channels for your goal to manifest itself in your life. And so those were the first three entries for the week. I just want to ask a minute Just a second, because time is going. Anybody here have anything that they would like to say about the first three entries?
This is Imani. It was interesting that you should say that. I was thinking about children, how they see what they want and they get what they want most of the time. There's a good and a bad to that. And when we talk about fears, the good part about it is they don't think that they can't get it. They know that once they put it out there, letter to Santa or whatever means, they know that that is going to happen. And I allude to my childhood, how that happened with me, even though my family weren't rich or anything. But when I decided that I wanted something, and I told Santa, which is my father, that I wanted this and I wanted that, somehow they made it happen. And I didn't think about the limitations or the lack that they weren't able to do it. So the good part about it is that whenever I put it out there and I really wanted a certain doll or whatever, I got it because this was in my heart and soul. If I didn't get it, well, I guess I would have been disappointed, but I always got what I asked for, at Christmas at least.
Okay, so what about now in life?
Now in life, I try to apply the same feeling of no limitations, no fears. I know that I can get it if I really want. Now I know I have to work towards it because faith without works is dead, of course. And that faith is to really focus on God being in charge and God being the center of my life and God being able to supply all of my needs in terms of setting a goal. Yes, working towards it, making a plan about as to how I'm going to get that, and having the energy and the fortitude, knowing that I want something desperately, I will work for it. I will, in my mind, by setting the tone of who I am, and knowing that I can get it. I only use a child as an example because they don't have those limitations. You know, their only work is to be nice, be good, and go to bed on time so that those things will come to fruition. But I think the bottom line is working towards the goal, and however you need to work through it, prayer, meditations, and I really want this. And if you want to write it down, you can. I don't always write down what I want. I usually think about it and see ways in which I can obtain that goal.
One of the things that I came across as I was reading about this whole idea of faith is that you do not have to work toward it. You do not have to work toward your goal. You have to be open to Spirit's directions, but you do not have to work toward it. See, that's one of the things that I really want to get into, and I'm not getting into it today because it's something that I only saw this week. It's still, you know, kind of fuzzy. And that's one of the beautiful things in this. When you set a goal, you don't have to work toward it. See, that takes so much of our energy. We're looking around. Well, how should I do this? I have to position myself in this way. I need to do this. No.
Well,
no,
can
you
I
don't.
Interrupt to say is my work is building my consciousness to that point where you don't have to work towards it. You don't just come out of the clear blue sky. This is something you have to build. You have to develop. And when I say develop, it's not energy. It's not, well, it is energy, but it's not hard work, as sweat and tears. It's building that energy by praying, meditating, and because some people, you know, it just doesn't come, but you have to be ready, prepared, expected. But
that's a piece when you expect it. Yes,
expect it. But you don't just, you know, you have to build your consciousness to that point where you know that you will, you know that those goals or those whatever you need and desire in life will come to you. It doesn't just happen. You do have to work in that sense. When I say work, I'm not talking about sweating and you know, building it with bricks. I'm saying that you really have to get to that point. And to me, to get to that point of building my consciousness did not happen overnight. It took years and years of studying.
Are you there yet?
No. I'm still studying, and I'm still growing. And it only happens when you experience the outcome.
Well,
you
yes,
begin
and
to realize.
Well, see, that's why I started off this program talking about the Christ consciousness. Because I'm not. This is what we're talking about here is not something that most people, ordinary people, really get. First of all, most people do not believe that you can, well, I guess they do believe you can set a goal and you can accomplish it, but you must work very hard at it. It has to be, you have to be in the right place at the right time. You have to know the right people. You know, there's so many stipulations.
Yeah.
So many people never accomplish much of anything because they, not that they don't have dreams and not that they don't have desires, but because they are so busy working toward it that they don't get it, you know. Anyway, we who are usually listening to this program are in a whole different category. We work with our Christ consciousness. We are aware of our Christ consciousness. We know that the Christ consciousness makes every day for us a successful day. We know that. So when I see the point of you don't have to work at it, that was a new piece for me for today. So that's why I'm saying that I'm grinning now. I don't have to work at this. Now I can design it, I can see it, I can visualize it, I can do all of that, and that's fine. But I do not have to plan how it is done. That is the work of spirit.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that. See, we have a different. I don't even have a different definition for work. But my work is to working towards a goal. It does begin with building that consciousness to that point where you can just say, shh, I know it's going to happen.
Yes,
you know,
I am.
And
well,
I know
I'm getting there, boo.
Yeah, you got to get there. You got to get to that. You got to
get there. I'm getting there, man. Telling you, I loved it.
Yeah, that's
okay.
The work I'm talking about. That's what
all
I
right.
meant by work.
All right. Well, that's the work then. We're working on that. I love it.
I would say development.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Building.
Yes. So that you could. It is what you want. It's what you want. It's all on you. Okay, Reverend Mary Lou wants to talk about Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week, the entries in The Sweetest Christmas. I hope that everyone's read them so that, because we can't possibly read all of them, you know, but we can talk about them. So, Reverend Mary Lou, go right ahead, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, dear.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thanks. Everyone. So on Thursday, December 7th, the focus is on the good, that all the good that you already have. And as Christmas nears, know that the same faith that God's omnipresent good is also active within you, waiting for you to experience. Have faith that God's gifts are constantly coming forth as creative ideas, abundance, healing, hope, feelings of gratitude. Divine mind is present at all times and in all circumstances. Impossible dreams are always possible if you listen deeply within yourself for God's wisdom and for the Holy Spirit guidance. The true meaning of Christmas is discovering that God's substance is constantly manifested. through faith. Could everyone keep their phone on mute, please, if they could, that noise. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are
yes,
unlimited.
Yes, I just interrupt you.
I'm
yes,
sorry,
please.
I was on. I wasn't
okay,
on.
Please put your mute on, honey. Thank you. Okay, go
oh,
on.
Thanks very much. Okay. The gifts of Spirit are unlimited. Have faith in the flow of infinite life that you are and find it deep within your soul. And the scripture, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Matthew 9:29. The reading is from Reverend Leslie Miller. And it lists about to focus on the good that you already have. And on this day of Advent, I have faith that God's gifts continuously flow forth in my life. And this is to constantly remember to focus on the good in your life with gratitude and thanksgiving. And then with your plan, designing your plan, things can only get better, as the song says. And on Friday, that's today, December 8th, we say that the reading is like tuning into the rhythms of nature. In a way, I mean the Christ consciousness in Christmas and throughout the year. Within the stillness, while trees seem to be asleep and bugs and bears are holed up underground, a great current of life activity is moving. Roots are pulling in nutrients for future leaf building. And tiny cubs are nursing and growing as bear moms slumber. Our Christ consciousness flows through us and all creation, ceaselessly shining light into the world. This winter solace is both the longest night of the year and a necessary first step towards the warmth of spring. Christmas happens every time we shine our light and move with the faith and hope of Christ within us. And the scripture reading for this day, today, is that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The Gospel of John 1:9. And the reading, this reading is by a Reverend Sylvia Hayes. And the affirmation for today, on this day of Advent, I celebrate the Christ light that flows within all creation, including me. And tomorrow, Saturday, December 9th, there's hope and knowing God. And it goes to say we should release any doubt. And we need to stand in our faith and claim our good. Charles Fillmore was encouraging us to see beyond appearances to the truth of our being. Hope takes root in our heart and grows into something stronger. Now, what if doubt isn't the opposite of faith, but rather part of the process of faith? Doubt is a way of moving ourselves through the questions we have and the uncertainty and into a place where we can plant our feet securely and stand in our faith. So in this busy season, be gentle with yourself in the face of whatever life throws at you, hold on to hope, give it away where you can, and move through doubt and stand in your faith. And this scripture, and you will have confidence. Because there is hope, you will be protected and take your rest in safety. That's from Job chapter 11, verse 18. And this reading is by Reverend Mark Fuss. Now, as we see the affirmation on this day of Advent, I open my heart to hope and stand in my faith. And now faith is expressing itself as love. And the way we manifest it is personal for each person. And there's ways to do it, such as a treasure map. Well, first the goal would be designing a plan for peace and harmony this holiday season. And by a personal, either a treasure map, writing a dialogue story, you know, the story of the first experience of a snowstorm that you might have experienced, and journaling, and it's very important being specific. Knowing that by faith in God and by hope in God, that faith and hope are what will make this plan, this design plan, visibly manifest in the world. And for me, let me see what I wrote. Helping the migrants is something that I want to do this season. Donating warm clothing and being walking in the city and being very kind to people that are new to the city. And also, in order to do all this, first and foremost, unselfish self-care, taking care of myself with, make sure I get enough exercise and walking and also good nutrition. And then I'm able to help the migrants and family, friends, and coworkers with loving kindness, and so thank you.
All right, I see that you have some concrete designs that you have to accomplish during the holiday season, and I hope that everyone who's listening does have something in mind, so that when we come to our last Friday session, we'll be able to say, well, I had this as a goal. I had more prosperity as a goal. And as of today, my bank account has increased by $5,000 over this month. And so we can see how that worked out for you. So we want to have a goal in mind. And at the end of the month, we'll take a look and see how it works. So this week has been a very beautiful week in Advent. We have talked about hope and faith. We have emphasized that Christ consciousness that is there right within each one of us. And it is the thing that will help us, guide us, direct us, take care of all of the business that goes into fulfilling or manifesting whatever the goal is that we have decided on. So, first of all, we're going to have a design or a plan for peace and harmony in your life. Whether it's for Christmas or not, it's up to you. And second, take a look at your fears around this particular goal. If the reason that you do not have this goal in your life at this time is because there may be fears around this goal, and so you have to find out what they are through introspection and through contemplation, of course, and deny them as you find out what they are. And, of course, you have to stay positive and cultivate the truth. Give thanks for the goods that are in your life. Give thanks for your present good. Giving thanks for that, recognizing the goods in your life and praising them and thanking God for them just brings more good into your life. Go ahead. Somebody interrupt. Go ahead.
I thought you had finished. I apologize. This is Elva.
Okay, dear, go ahead. Okay, I was going to say after by concentrating on the good and emphasizing the goods in your life, focus on your goal with enthusiasm, expectation, with picturing how lovely it is going to be when this is accomplished, and focusing on that goal. And five, remember the Christ within. The hope and the faith, those attributes that you are using to concentrate, focus, and make this goal a reality. And don't forget that doubts may help us answer questions about the goal that we're after, but can lead us into greater faith. Release the doubt and then stand in faith and claim your good. That claiming of your good is a very important piece also. And so that's what I got out of the first week of this booklet, The Sweetest Christmas. And it might be the sweetest Christmas that I've ever known. Okay, and so, Elva, you're in. Go ahead, dear.
Yes, I'm in. I apologize.
That's okay, my dear.
I don't know what the time went today. But anyway, I've enjoyed the part of it that I caught. I came in on the end, but I've enjoyed this working on a design, coming up with a design, and it seemed like everything over the past several days, since Sunday, has been working in that way for me. First, I have this book that I just picked up called Divine Work Play, which you both taught, you and Imani talked about work versus play. And it say divine work, and then it says play, and that's the title of the book. So this is what you two discussed, work versus play, and I'll talk about that more next week. But first it was the book, and then it was this discussion about the design. And then this morning I awakened and I was tuned into a Course in Miracles, and I don't know how I missed this, and I got A Course in Miracles. But anyway, they talked about a bank, how the bank is designed, where, you know, stuff goes into your savings and then you transfer it over to your check-ins. And then when you need it, you know, it's there. That's what I saw about this design. It's just like a bank. It's a spiritual. In other words, my design is going to be a spiritual bank.
Okay.
And it's already, God has already placed it there for me, this spiritual bank, where, you know, all of these gifts, love, faith, and all of that is placed, is in it. And anytime I can take my, these are my assets, I can take them and transfer them over to the check-in. That's where, you know, we use it over in the check-in. You know, the banking, the savings just kind of set there. But the check-in, you know, we use that. But anyway, I'll talk about that more, too. It's called a spiritual bank. And it's designed into, as part of that Christ consciousness already there so that you can use it. And use it with ease and effortlessly. That's the play part of it. And, gosh, what else did I have? But I'll have it all down their sleeve. Okay, so another thing that happened, other than that, of course, in miracles this morning, was awaken, and I after Course in Miracles, and this song came to me, a song, something called, what's that song called? It's called Walking in the Light. Walking in the Light or something like that.
Walking in the Light, beautiful light, down where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright, shine all around us day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world.
Okay, and then I didn't know the song, and so I had to pull it up, and all I had was, you know, Walk in the Light,
mm-hmm.
and it came up for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it flipped to this, my phone flipped to this thing called, it was called Designing a Light Garden or something like that. Because I don't know where that came from, but it just popped up. It was a message today, designing a garden, a light
mm-hmm.
garden. And
mm-hmm.
so, yes, you know. And I say, well, designing a light garden, if I'm designing a light garden, surely I can design design of a spiritual bank, a spiritual.
Well, one of the things that I, since you weren't on at the beginning, I read the scripture from Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
Isaiah 9, and it says, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. So we started with that. So you really...
I don't know. I'll get this whole thing together and I share it next week because I mean
very good.
Just the first part because I was so, you know, this kind of took me so high until I forgot where I was and all of that.
I understand. The same thing with,
to another world.
Okay, that's fine.
They weren't coincidence. They weren't intended to be. They weren't coincident. They just this topic about the designing this light garden and all
okay.
of that.
Okay. All right.
It was like a moon garden because I do the meditation, full moon meditation. And
okay.
so this garden is something that you plant that the light is going to reflect on it at night.
Okay.
And you, day right. and night, you know, you're going to have this beautiful garden.
All right.
I mean, it was just, oh, my God. But that's where I was.
I'm so glad that you came in because this whole idea of the Christ consciousness being part of old Advent 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I started talking about the Christ consciousness,
yeah.
Because it's very important. Usually, we just talk about the Christmas, you know, with the lights and the Jesus or whatever. Blah, blah, blah. But
mm-hmm.
I think that the Christ consciousness is critical in talking about this, because
yes.
that is what is the force, the
mm-hmm.
energy. That
mm-hmm.
we are using for love, peace, joy, and all of the good things that we are claiming as
mm-hmm.
ours, as our inheritance,
mm-hmm.
as we share with
mm-hmm.
the Christ. You know, so
mm-hmm.
I wanted to put it there because, as I said before, the whole Christmas thing with Santa Claus and everything, I missed that. So, you know, and that was
right.
part of my life. So it's I understand it is part of a lot of people's lives and it's meaningful, and I'm not saying it's not. But I prefer to deal with the Christ consciousness of Advent.
But
you know?
For me, you know, I had to shift from that toys and all of that because it was nine of us, and we
mm-hmm.
lived in rural North Carolina, and
mm-hmm.
we didn't have that,
mm-hmm.
you know. We lived out in the country. We couldn't ride bikes. It was too much dirt
mm-hmm.
and sand. There was no concrete back there where we lived. It was all dirt. So we didn't
mm-hmm.
get bikes and toys and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that we had every Christmas, we always had plenty of food.
Uh-huh.
Always had plenty of food. But the thing that we had was peace. I mean, you know, we peaced, we partied, and we just had fun. We used our imagination, and we just had fun eating. Oh, my God, so much food, eating, and people, you know, from the city up here in D.C. would come down to North Carolina, and we would just have fun. The kids would sleep Christmas Eve, and we would party. And so it was a peaceful time. Everybody just danced and had fun all night.
Wonderful.
Night. And so this is what I see. The whole thing for me is about peace. It's never been about gifts. It's never been about anything. The only gift wrap we had was a paper bag. We had paper bags. We used that brown paper bag, and maybe we had some ribbons or something we stuck on there. But that's what Christmas was about for me, and it was a peaceful time, a peace that, and I think that's where we got to get back to that peace.
Well, darling, it looks like with the economy the way it is, we may be going just that way, my darling girl.
No, I don't think so, but I don't think we're doing that. I think life is lived forward.
Tis true. I get that. Okay, so the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. We go in peace and walk with the Master. So until next Friday, take care. God bless. Things are going to get better. Better. Yes.
better.
Is a call for some of the most terrible violence human beings can perpetrate. It's evil, plain and simple.
NBC's George Solis is on the ground at UPenn for us. Walk us through, George, the latest on this threat to Mitchell's job, but also what you're hearing from the ground plan.
Incredibly happy.
Of social media posting and the potential witnesses came in at the end of the day, this court How are you doing, Rachel? Dr. Pence is sending me home today. Actually, I believe he's arranged to have you go into a group home where everybody works and pitches in. I think that sounds great.
Yeah, well, I'll believe it when I see it.
I think you'll see it. Dr. Pence strikes me as a man who stands by his word. Mr. Ellis is expecting you at work on Monday, too.
Sure. Till I screw up again.
You know, Rachel, there's a lot of people out there that like you. I like you. Why don't you give us a break?
You like me now, but, just wait.
Hello?